said, "Come unto me, all of you." And he means all of you in this chapel here today. Come unto me with your burdens and with your problems, and I will give you rest. And once again, we give over the problems and anxieties of our lives, especially if anything has come to our mind since we were last in silence here together. Or there may not be a big problem. They may be just an irritation, some minor thing. Whatever it is, whether it be a minor problem or a major issue in our lives, we hand this over to our Lord. And I would like you to remember that he is looking at us. His eyes are open. And he can see straight into our hearts. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Come unto me, all of you. Come unto me, all of you. I have always loved you. These are the words which Jesus spoke to his disciples when he was trying to prepare them for what was to come. He went on to say that I have always loved you, and you are to love one another. If there is this love among you, then all will know that you are my disciples. It goes on to say that Peter then said, "Lord, where are you going?" And it is Peter in the centre of this discussion again. And it was to Peter, along with the other disciples, that Jesus directly aimed his remarks. I have always loved you. And yet we know that Jesus only knew Peter as a man for a short while. And so it wasn't Jesus of Nazareth speaking to Peter the fisherman, but it was the Christ speaking to the Christ. I have always loved you. And we are reminded of similar words spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, the words which God spoke through him. I thought how I would set you among my sons and give you a pleasant land, a heritage most beautiful. And I thought that you would call me Father. I have always loved you. I have always been with you. My spirit lives in you. My spirit prays in you with sighs too deep for words. This can be quite a frightening and an alarming thought. It makes us feel that perhaps we're not in full control of ourselves and what is going on within us. If this is Christ within us, doing the praying, doing the sighing, doing the living, then we have got to have a good long look at what is happening to ourselves. We can spend a lifetime under the anaesthetic of religion, using a defense mechanism of religion to stop us gaining the real knowledge of what the Christ life means. But once the anaesthetic begins to break down, once we begin to understand that Christ is alive, and the only place that he is alive is within us. Jesus of Nazareth is not walking along the shores of Galilee anymore. We are the people. We are the mystical body of Christ on earth. And as this anaesthetic begins to wear off, we can then discern this true joy within us, this true peace within us. And we can recognize it for being God Himself, because we can hear God say, "You are my beloved. I love you. I have always loved you. You are mine." And when we begin to recognize this, and the Spirit is given free course within us, His Spirit, then we begin to lose this small self. And we begin, slowly but surely, to be able to embrace the whole world with all its suffering and all its problems and all its people. And these are the fruits of the contemplative life. Knowing God truly lives within us, that we are beloved, that we have always been with God, that we are with God, that we go back to God, and that it is God, the Christ, who is living and breathing and moving and sighing within us. And the fruits of this are the work of our lives, the enabler to put our arms around the whole world and love all people and all things. And so we go into the first silence of the mind, first of all thinking and then letting go of the thoughts and listening to God say, "I have always loved you. And so you are to love one another. I have always loved you." I have always loved you. I have always loved you. And so you are to love one another. I am not myself the source of the words which I speak to you. It is the Father who dwells in me, doing his own work. It is the Father who dwells in me, doing his own work. Jesus understood that. It takes us a long time to work that one out for ourselves. But it is God, the Father, within us. And as we take the words from our minds, we allow God to speak directly into our hearts, not with words, but with knowings. And to help us enter into a state of true contemplation, it might be good to ponder on a few thoughts about this love of God, which has always been with us. Now, if God has always been with us, we have never been away from him. And yet we know that there are times, and have been times, when we haven't known him or felt his presence near to us. The small I of our individuality has decided, for some reason, either lack of knowledge or understanding, to turn away from the knowledge of God. And yet, if God has always been with us and always been loving us, we cannot really have separated ourselves from him. If it were possible for us to separate ourselves from God, then that would be saying that we were greater than God. We are not greater than God, and we cannot separate ourselves from him. He has always loved us and known us and cared for us in spite of ourselves. And what is more, God himself cannot be divided up. What I mean is that God, his love, his peace, his joy, his compassion, cannot be separated from itself. We cannot have the love of God one day and the joy of God the next day and the peace of God the next day. Nor could I possess the peace of God and you possess the joy of God. God is a whole thing, a whole being, which is within us. And so at all times we have a share in this wholeness of God. That is one of the reasons we have to share the suffering and the pain and the loss. This is because God cannot be divided from himself, and we cannot be divided from that self. That real self, which is God, all consciousness, all power, all might, the divine being, the divine love, the divine light. We are inheritors of all of these things. And so as we go into this silence of the heart, where true contemplation can begin to take place, let us rest in the knowledge that we cannot be divided from God, neither can he be divided from himself. This is a big thing to think about. That's why we use this period of the heart, because we can't think about it in our minds, in our intellects. We cannot make sense of it. We simply have to sit here and accept it as a truth. I am always with you. The Father dwells in me. I dwell in the Father. And together we make our home in you. The world cannot receive him, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But you now know him, because he dwells within you and is in you. I love you, and I will disclose myself to you. So we let go of these thoughts and these ideas and make ourselves comfortable and relaxed and simply sit here accepting the truth. I am always with you, and I have always loved you. I have always loved you. I have always loved you. And so you are to love one another. If there is this love among you, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will send an advocate who will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And if you love me, you will become my beloved. I have always loved you, and I will disclose myself to you. Now, we have had this love disclosed to us. We have had it revealed that the wholeness of God is within us, that he cannot be separated from himself, neither can he be separated from us, and neither can we separate ourselves from him. We can only pretend to sometimes when it suits our convenience. We act like children hiding from the parent, standing behind the curtains, but the parent knows the child's there because they can see the feet sticking out from underneath. When Adam and Eve tried to hide from God in the garden, he could see them. So like children, we try to hide sometimes and pretend he isn't there. But in spite of all of this, he says, I have always loved you. And so in the third silence, we have to obey him. We have to let his love have free course in us. We have to let this love out. We are impelled to do so. And so we joyfully engage our will with the will of our Lord, our Father, our Creator, our Divine Parent. We join together with him in the work of redeeming his world back to himself. And for this final session of intercession today, I would like you to imagine on your laps a globe of the world, the size of a football. I want you to look at it. And if there is any part of the world where you have relatives or friends, where you are especially concerned about any particular country, and in the silence of the next few minutes, hold that country before our Lord, who says, I have always loved you. I have always loved you. Perhaps we could share together the concerns we have for this world, this earth that is our home, which we share. So I ask you to call out any particular country with any particular need that you feel we should share together and hold before God together. First of all, of course, at this time, I would like us to hold before God the Kurdish people. You are my people, and I am a God close at hand, and not a God far off. Do not be anxious or afraid, for I am with you. I have always loved you. You, my people in Northern Ireland, I have you graven on the palms of my hands. I will bring you back to the fold. I will be with you. You shall be my people, and all will be well with you. I have always loved you.
The starving people in Ethiopia and other parts of Africa.
You, my people, who are starving, I am the bread of life. I will give you a new heart, so that you will know that I am your Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I am with you. Do not be anxious or afraid. I will feed you. I have always loved you. I have always loved you. And once again, we offer and present unto you, as far as we are now able, ourselves as an emptiness to be filled with your fullness. All that we are, all that we have, all that we do, a living sacrifice in your service.